Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Reminder that you can take part in our program as it happens. We'll be talking about the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and retail pot rules. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. 2 months now, marijuana has been legal for personal recreational use in Oregon, and the use of pot is largely absent from the headlines. What does make the news pretty often is the ongoing effort to clean up Oregon laws and administrative rules relating to recreational and medical marijuana. Retail sales begin for recreational pot at medical dispensaries this fall, while the Oregon Liquor Control Commission continues the process of making rules for retail sales at OLCC-governed stores next year. Let's catch up on the rulemaking process. Brent Kenyon is part of the rulemaking advisory group for OLCC and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Brent, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Catch people up again on your particular involvement in marijuana. You've been involved in the business for quite a few years now.
Sure. Yeah, I'm the CEO of Southern Oregon Alternative Medicine. We've been in the getting people their medical marijuana card business for about 18 years now.
And you're all over the state?
All over the state, yeah. We have 18 locations in Oregon. We're based out of Medford and have been working with medical patients and growers for all that time and glad to be doing it.
So you've been primarily involved with the medical side, so how end up with an advisory group that's talking about retail sales for recreational?
Sure. I think, you know, initially when OLCC was tasked with the getting the rules made and that stuff, they were reaching out to people in the community that have been around a while that understand how marijuana works in Oregon now and, you know, what we need to do to get to where they want us to be also. So I think that's kind of how they gathered us.
And how many members total, and have you had face-to-face meetings?
There's several subcommittee groups, so I'd be, like, guessing as far as an exact number. I'm on the main rules advisory committee, so all the subcommittee groups meet, go over individual things. We have packaging groups and lab groups and just about every aspect of it we have a separate subgroup for. So then all of that information gets compiled and then brought up to our main RAC group to go over it before OLCC makes the final decision.
So so we got a couple things going on here. OLCC is working in its retail sales. The retail sales that start October 1st, is it, are under the Oregon Health Authority, OHA?
Well, that's correct, because right now, currently, the only retail outlets are through medical marijuana dispensaries. So the early rollout was the intent of the OHA to, or the legislators, rather, to have OHA create an early rollout so we didn't have a huge lapse in when OLCC will be able to license stores for folks, you know, saying that anyone 21 and older can have cannabis and not giving them a place to get it. It's just kind of, you know, enforcing the black market rule right now. So
it was meant to get away from having a black
market. It was. I think that was the intent of the legislators.
So is the OHA program of retail sales at dispensaries meant to sunset once the OLCC program comes in, or has that been established?
Essentially, what's going to happen is there's some basic rules. For the first few months until January, it'll be tax-free. So October 1, anyone 21 and older can go into a medical marijuana dispensary and buy up to a quarter ounce of flower. None of the concentrates, none of the edibles, just flower. in January, when things change, we'll start collecting the tax. So it'll be the responsibility of the dispensary owners to collect the tax at the sales point.
As a medical marijuana guy, do you have any concerns about the blurring of the lines between medical and recreational, particularly in terms of what we're talking about just now with retail sales for recreational occurring through the medical dispensaries?
Well, I wasn't a big fan of an early rollout, mainly because there's so much into record keeping, the things that we have to do to be compliant to keep track of the medical patients that are coming in versus now with a recreational person that comes in, it's just basically going to be record the person's birth date to make sure they're not coming back in the same day and buying more than the quarter ounce allotment that was allowed by legislative rule. And so I think that we have constantly been fighting to protect medical and the way of life for medical patients and growers in this process, and we're going to continue to have to do that.
Is there any interlink in the system of sales coming October 1st? You just mentioned that you don't want a person to come back in the same day and buy from that dispensary. But
right.
Is there any way another dispensary
Negative.
Down the road?
No, there's no way. The dispensaries don't have a communication between each other, so it'd be impossible to try and see if somebody's going. They could essentially go store to store to store and get that quarter ounce, which we assume some people will do. But for the most part, you can come back tomorrow. So if you want to buy a quarter ounce, if you're smoking over a quarter ounce a day, you know, as with alcohol, I think you need to pay attention to how much usage you have. But that's up to the individual. And right now the rules would allow for them to go to different stores and collect that quarter ounce if they wanted to.
Brent Kenyon is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's part of the Rulemaking Advisory Group for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, OLCC, working on rules for the sale of retail recreational marijuana. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Howdy. If I want to meet some friends and go for a couple drinks and have conversation and so on, I can just go down to the pub. But if I want to smoke a joint, I got to run into my house, close the curtains, make sure nobody can see me because it's got to be private, and be closeted just like the gays were in the 70s or 80s. Yet marijuana is supposed to be a legal product. Now, you're putting a stigma on it just like it's always had. You have not really progressed into treating it as you do alcohol, for example, where you can go down to the pub and sit around and drink and talk. No, you can't do that with marijuana. Why the stigma? Why continue to closet it?
All right. Well, you don't have to close your curtains. That much has changed anyway, Steve. But point taken, and let's follow up with Brent. Any discussion about marijuana use in public places? It was not part of the law, so this is not something you could affect through rulemaking, I'm thinking.
Sure, yeah, definitely a hot topic. Public consumption, and myself and others have legal teams working on, in fact, the Department of Justice in Oregon is working on what is a public place. Consumption in public, as with alcohol, is not legal either. So you can't walk down the street, drink a beer, but you can drink a beer in a bar. So our argument has been just that with the alcohol. I think what's happening is we are seeing the end of prohibition all over again. And not very many of us, if any of us, were around to see kind of the stigma that was around alcohol and how intense that was initially when they started allowing alcohol into the facilities. So I think we've got some kind of a period where legislators, including OLCC brass, have this blanket of protection they want to put upon us to make sure that we're not smoking and drinking ourselves into oblivion and driving. So public consumption is a hot topic. We're going back and forth on it, and we're hoping to have some guidance from the Department of Justice on what they think a public place is. Is a concert a public place? If it's, you know, you're paying a ticket to go into a private venue, in our opinion, it should be a private place and people should be able to consume. If that event is 21 and older, you don't have minors in the area, we think that you should be able to do that. The High Times magazine's been trying to throw a cannabis cup in the Portland area for months, and they haven't been able to do that because they can't find anywhere that's going to allow them to publicly consume, or whether it's a private location or not. So there's this legal argument going on that's going to allow that. We agree that cannabis should be treated like alcohol. If I go into a smoking section of a bar and someone can kill me with a cigar, I don't see why I can't, you know, potentially, if I'm a medical patient especially, be able to take my medicine in that area now that it's fully legal, or someone just enjoying a joint while they're out on the town.
But you would have to have separate sections in those circumstances, wouldn't you? I mean, because there is enough of a difference between the two substances that I can't get drunk from the guy sitting next to me getting loaded at the concert, but if he's lighting up, I can probably get a contact high.
Well, I guess. If you're in a, you know, most of the smoking sections are outside now because you can't smoke inside other than a few McMenamin spots that have cigar bars. I think you're pretty much outside, so you're not going to be in an enclosed environment. So if you're outside, it's going to be pretty hard unless you're literally sitting on my lap to get high off my joint.
A couple of questions from Jamie in Medford. He wants to know what would prevent someone from going to store to store and selling it for profit, and then what about secondhand smoke for minors in homes and enclosed spaces?
Well, what I can say is penalties have dropped for legal use. So one thing they're going to be doing is enforcing infractions. And if you want to find a way to get a felony where you couldn't before, going in and making an illegal business out of a legal business is definitely going to be frowned upon, and they're going to be convicted as strongly as possible, I think, at this point. So I think there's going to be some deterrence legally for people to do that. But in the long run, there's not. There's not a way to make sure that people aren't giving out their Vicodin as soon as they leave the pharmacy. It's the same kind of thing.
And I guess the other part of that is beyond the scope of what you're doing, but secondhand smoke for minors in homes and enclosed spaces?
You know, we're encouraging educate before you recreate. And, you know, that's going to be, I think that's the big topic of where do I store my medicine? How do I keep it away from children? It's going to be the same thing. It's locking up the liquor cabinet and hiding those little chocolates that have alcohol in them. I think with edibles, that's a reference that I like to use. It's something that, you know, it looks like chocolate, but it's not chocolate. And same thing with medicated candy bars. So I think it's going to be a lot of parental responsibility and as an adult to make sure that your children are not exposed to the excess smoke or potentially getting a hold of an edible or something that could, you know, make them not feel too good.
Okay, so back to what the major focus of the rulemaking advisory group you're on, dealing with retail sales. So you'll be able to buy marijuana without a medical marijuana card in a dispensary as of October 1st.
As of October 1st, you can walk into any of these medical marijuana dispensaries you've seen around. We have quite a few in the Rogue Valley now, so initially we were worried there wasn't going to be a lot of access, but now quite a few stores have opened, and there's going to be, you know, and we're coming into the harvest season too, so there's going to be a lot of product on the street in those stores, and so we're excited to kind of see what happens and see how the flow goes. I think this is an experiment statewide, and also OLCC is watching closely to see kind of what the turnout is, and I'm a little worried at this point that stores are going to have a hard time keeping up. It's going to be larger than I think people realize when anyone 21 driving by the store can bop in now, trying to keep supply up, you know, and harvest starts in October. So it's like right on the line of when people are going to be harvesting. It takes time to harvest. You got a few weeks lull. You know, there'll be some early bird stuff. And so I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's kind of a crazy plan. The legislators wanted to divert the black market, but I think it's putting a lot on the dispensary owners and the system prior to OLCC completing the rulemaking.
So forgive me, because I think I asked this already, but I want to hear it again. Does the sales through dispensaries for recreational stop once the OLCC rules come into effect with retail sales?
What will happen is you will have to – it's going to continue. The only thing after October that will change is the taxes will be collected once that's decided by January. OLCC has until January to complete the initial rulemaking, and then implementing licensing and all of that will take months afterwards. So what's going to happen is you will just basically have to come into compliance. So those stores will have to – if they want to continue to sell to medical marijuana patients and recreational patients, they're going to have to get licenses for those appropriate organizations.
So OHA is going to be in charge of this until OLCC gets its rules all
essentially, in place? Yeah. Mm-hmm. OLCC was not interested in having an early rollout. That wasn't their plan at all. And so it was, again, something the legislators decided would be a good idea. And I understand where they're coming from. We don't want people going to their nephew to find cannabis now that they can go buy it. So, I see the good in what's happening. I think it's going to be stressful on the system initially, but you know, people are in this industry really tend to roll with the punches. And I think so far, you know, dealing with an overabundance of folks coming into the outlets versus worrying about, you know, local police coming into your home and raiding you is a big step. So I think I'd rather worry about if we're going to have enough to sell.
So the you run the problem of having a demand outstrip supply, which then you lead to the black market again, don't you?
I think so. I think, you know, price-wise, we'll see. It's going to be market-dictated. There's no set prices that were given to any of the store owners. So I think it's going to be up to the market to kind of find a medium. People keep referring to Washington and Colorado. I think Washington's a better look geographically. Colorado has so many red states around. They had a lot of influx from out-of-state folks coming in to buy cannabis. I don't think Californians or Washingtonians are going to rush down to Oregon to buy cannabis like we see in Colorado. So I just don't think it's a good reference. Frankly, I'm tired of hearing the comparison. I think Oregon's law is much, much better. Our medical law is much, much better. And I think the other states really need to be watching what we're doing to learn.
So down the road, when we get all the OLCC rules into effect, the taxes of the first of the year, et cetera, I mean, is there a rough outline for like how many outlets there will be? Are you looking to even control that number, anything like that?
There hasn't been a lot of topic of controlling the number as much as allowing folks that have been in the industry for a while to have access to some of the licensing ahead of time. None of that's been decided yet. It's been a push that we had with the legislature to let the existing medical marijuana growers and medical marijuana dispensaries be the first licensed folks because they know what they're doing already. We're already packaging, we're already growing, we're already selling in a retail market. It just made sense to not issue a ton of new permits initially when we're pretty confident that the medical marijuana growers in Oregon right now are producing enough cannabis if we can keep it local to handle the whole supply and demand issue.
Wow, a lot of work involved there, isn't
there? Lots going on, yeah.
All right. Brent Kenyon is on the OLCC committee, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission Advisory Committee, looking to create rules for marijuana retail sales. As you heard, they do begin in dispensaries in Oregon on October 1st as the OLCC continues the process of rolling out its rules through the next year. Brent, thanks for joining us today in the Exchange.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.